Anyway, yo, so as I told you, I'm the founder of Product School. We started Product School 3 years ago. And the main goal is to teach product management to people that want to break into product. Product is becoming very, very complex. So it's not just about learning the business part of it. It's also about learning the design, the marketing, and the technical aspects of it. So that's why we started offering additional courses about coding and data analytics, always from the manager's perspective. So the coding class that we offer is not for people that want to be engineers. The same way the data class is not for people that want to be data scientists. It's more like for managers to understand more about how to work with engineers or data people. Tonight's event is going to be around 40 to 60 minutes. I prepared some of the most common questions that we've seen from companies that are hiring product managers at the entry level. And this is based on the data that we've collected from some of our students who got product management jobs. So we have a second microphone. And I'm going to throw some questions out there. And then I have someone from the audience to give us some answers. And then I also like to provide some feedback. So hopefully you can understand some of the frameworks that a recruiter would be expecting. Before we start giving feedback or answers to questions, I want you to know that there is no right or wrong answer, right? When I ask you a question, I'm not expecting the perfect answer. I cannot expect an exact number. I'm expecting more like a framework and a way of processing information. And there are so many possible good answers, the same way there are many possible bad answers. So when we give feedback, do not expect to memorize the answer that I just give you and expect that with that you go to Google and then you get the job. Because that doesn't work this way. I wish. And then, yes, I see people leaving the audience now. obviously, it's not just about hacking the interview process. In order to qualify for an interview even, you need to have some background. So I create a graph that explains what's the standard process for a product management interview. And then I'll explain what you need to have in order to qualify to get into this funnel. I like to treat this as a funnel I like to try to treat this as a funnel because you have to know that this is a numbers game. You are going to start with so many companies that you would like to work for, and then from there, some of them will give you the opportunity to interview over the phone. Some of them will give you the opportunity to meet with them in person, and so on. So first step of the funnel is submitting the resume or your LinkedIn profile. They are not going to call you and be like, hey, it seems that you came to one of our events. Would you like to become a product manager? You kind of need to be the one pushing for that. Is there any existing product manager in the room?
Program/product management.
Okay, I'll take it. So for the ones that are existing product managers, are you guys looking for another product management job?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That works. And for the ones that are not product managers, are you also trying to recruit the product? I mean, that question is pretty obvious. After you submit your resume, someone will typically do a phone screen. That phone screen is not going to be done by a product manager in most of the cases. So that's something to keep in mind. Like the first person who's going to interview you might not be a product manager. This is a recruiter who is also hiring for other positions. So they are under the assumption of, okay, I'm looking for a certain amount of experience, I'm looking for certain keywords, I'm looking for certain companies, certain level of education. So the first step, even before you get into the interview process, is to have a decent resume or LinkedIn profile so you can have the opportunity to answer questions. Otherwise, there's no chance. So this workshop is assuming that you already made it to that first phase and you are going to interview with someone on the phone, okay? Let's say things go well and you have a really good phone interview. I see people smiling. And then you're probably going to have a second interview. That second interview is typically in person. And by the way, the format that I'm describing now is not just for product management, it could also be for other positions, but typically in product management, you will have that second interaction in person. And what I've seen is that since you are going to be doing that meeting in person, companies will typically try to connect you with multiple individuals. Product management is a very cross-functional type of role. So you are not just going to be interviewed by another product manager. You're probably going to be interviewed by another engineer and by another designer. They will want to know that you are a good fit and you can communicate with other groups. So within the same day, in order to make it efficient, they try to have for you to have a multiple in-person meetings. So expect more technical questions when you are talking with engineers, more business questions when you are talking with managers. Something that is becoming more and more and more popular among product management opportunities is that you will also need to prove some of your projects or products. This was very common in design interviews, right? Like all the designers had a portfolio where they would show some of their designs. And even with engineers, you can also take a look at GitHub accounts or other technical challenges and have a better idea of what's the hard skills that the engineers would provide. With product management, it used to be a little more higher level, right? Because it's business. Well, now it's becoming more and more tactical. So they will want to see what you've done before. And especially if you don't have official product management experience, it's not that it's impossible for you to break into product, but think about it. If you are applying for a company as a product manager and you haven't been an official product manager before, I need to see something. You know, like just telling me that you are very passionate about the product is not going to be enough. So not only in our course, but in the interview process, they will probably give you a case or a challenge. And I've seen different scenarios. I've seen scenarios where after the interview, they will give you, they send you an email with the case, and they say, hey, come to the office and present this case to us. All times they will probably give it to you, you will have to submit it, and then based on that, they decided they want to invite you to the office. But what's becoming more and more common is that at some point during the interview process, you will have to prove, present something. So if you have a portfolio, that will help out. And what I mean by portfolio is not Photoshop designs, because you're not applying for a design position. But, hey, let's say that you create a side project with a friend and you submitted an app to the App Store. That counts. Let's say that you have your own personal website that is not perfect, but you just put it together. That counts. Or you just create some wireframes or participated in a hackathon. That counts. What doesn't count is to say, I read a book, or, you know, yeah, my friend's a product manager, I've been having coffee. Sounds very absurd, but it's still happening, you know? So keep that in mind that you need to put the work. It's not just about hacking the interview. Yes?
What if you work on side projects?
Yeah, great question. What if you work as what if you've done some side projects as a product manager? Great. Add all of those side projects. Some of them will be more design-oriented or engineering-oriented or business-oriented, but the more I can see, the better, especially since you don't have that title yet. Like if you already have 2 or 3 or 4 years of experience as a product manager, that beats your side projects, because I can see that, okay, there's a real product, it's live, and you can tell me what you did. But if you don't have that, you can use your portfolio as an opportunity to supplement it.
Carlos, one question.
Yes, let's use microphones for questions so we can also have the audience that are following us online listen.
Thank you. So one question for Carlos, and maybe it's me, I somehow didn't kind of missed the connection. You first mentioned you'll be sent sort of a case maybe to solve, and I assume this is like a product management case where you'll be given an opportunity to, hey, come up with features or solve some kind of like a business case. And then you went into portfolio, sort of give examples of the previous work. So I didn't understand how that kind of connects. Mm-hmm. Can you please explain?
Okay. Let's all use this microphone because this one's creating some background noise. Yeah, so this is a process. And I'm trying to explain the process before we jump into the interview questions. I said that even before the interview questions, you are going to need to submit your resume. No resume, no interviews.
Yeah.
But after the interview questions, which is what we are going to be practicing tonight, the next step will probably be an in-person meeting.
Okay.
And after that, we'll probably have to do either another in-person meeting, or at some point you will have to present or show some of your work.
Oh, okay.
So I'm just kind of laying out the whole process and then focusing on the part of the process that we'll cover tonight. We don't have time for the whole thing. Yes?
You mentioned that sometimes in the interview process they might send you a sample case or whatever, and then you have to present to them. I've never had that I mean, no one's ever told me, here's a sample product. So what do you present to them? I don't know if you're going to cover that later, which gave my question to me, but what do you usually submit?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the question is, what do you usually submit? It's up to the companies. First of all, it's not mandatory, but I've seen this happening more and more often, especially when aspiring product managers are trying to get their first product management job, because there isn't much out there that I can use to know that you work as a product manager. Most common cases will be real scenarios like, hey, we want to build this new feature for this product. Why don't you create like the roadmap for this feature, the wireframes for this feature, the specifications for the feature, define the metrics, kind of the go-to-market strategy, and show us how you would do it. They are not expecting you to come up with the perfect plan. Obviously, as a product manager, you're not going to be designing or coding, but they want to see what's your framework, and if you have a process in mind and any experience using certain tools, or if you can even take the extra mile and create something for them compared to other candidates that will do less, right? And it also depends on how passionate you are about the product, how much time you have for this, because at the end of the day, trying to get a job is kind of a job itself. So my kind of summary of this workshop would be that this is not easy, this takes time, right? It's not just about hacking the questions, it's also knowing that every time you apply for a company that you are serious about, you also need to put some time to prepare some cases and be ready for whatever they ask. I know that some people may feel like, oh my God, this company is trying to take advantage of me and they are making me work for free. Well, reality is that I don't think they are trying to make you work for free unless it's a very, very small startup and you see that it's kind of shady. But in reality, they really want to see, first of all, how good you are, and that you are not just about talking, but also how committed you are. Like, if you are really willing to put some time to prove that you are good. Like, I'm a big believer in giving before asking, and totally it's up to you to reject that and say, hey, no, you are not going to take my work for free. I mean, you can even sign or see, they can sign an NDA, but I think at this time is more about you willing to prove to them that you are ready to take the challenge, but nobody's going to force you to do any work for free. I don't think that's the goal for most of the companies. But anyway, at some point, depending on how big the company is, I'm sure that the bigger, the more steps, but you will get an offer. And that's how I see the recruiting process. Your resume is not going to get you a job. Your resume will get you a phone call. Your phone call is not going to get you a job. Your phone call will probably get you an in-person meeting. Your in-person meeting will not get you a job. Your in-person meeting will probably get you a second in-person meeting. And it's important that you think about it as a process, so you don't get discouraged for knowing that, oh my God, this resume is not getting me a job. And if you think about this as a product manager itself, and you treat yourself as a product, you can identify where the bottlenecks are. And if you see that the problem is that nobody's calling you, well, there's no point in practicing the mock interview, because you probably need to optimize your resume. If everybody's calling you and you are not passing the next round, then there's no point in optimizing your resume. You need to optimize the way you are presenting yourself, and so on. So I created some, put some numbers out there to also exemplify kind of how many companies you need to put on top of the funnel, how many companies you need to apply in order to get some job offers. And of course, it depends on your background and the type of companies that you apply. But this is based on data from our students. What I'm trying to explain with this is, first of all, if you are trying to apply to a product management position for the first time, it is not realistic to expect job offers from Facebook, Google, Uber, Airbnb, Dropbox, maybe, but be open to know that those companies are extremely demanding, right? That they can afford to ask for so many requirements. So if you think that that's your goal, but maybe you need some additional experience, it's totally fine to start your product career in another company and then try to go for a big logo later, if that's what you want. Another approach could be to apply for any of those companies in a position that it's closer to your area of expertise. Maybe it's not the fancy product management title, but it gets you close enough, and then from there, try an internal position. Anyway, when I look at the top left corner I said between 30 to 50 companies. What I mean by this is that you need to identify between 30 to 50 companies that are good fit for you, and you define what's a good fit for you. So in terms of location, salary expectations, title, company size, industry, is the company hiring? Do you know anyone that could connect with you internally? And so on. If you are going to do less than 30 companies in the pipeline, it doesn't make sense to do this exercise, because you can always go and start sending emails and keep track of this mentally. But if you want to treat the job search as a job itself, you need to have a process, and you need to treat this in a structured way to increase your chances to get a job. But know that if you start with 30 to 50 companies, you are going to get from 1 to 2 job offers. Which means if you start with 5 companies, you're probably going to end up with 0 offers. And if you start with 100 companies, you're probably going to end up with 2 to 4 offers. Obviously, if you have more experience than average and you are an existing product manager, your conversion rate will be higher. But I'm assuming this is for people that are trying to break into product management. Okay? Good. Well, let's get started. I prepared 5 or 6 questions. Some of them are about different topics, so we can also use this as an example when they ask you. First of all, just to have an idea of the backgrounds of the audience. I know there are some product managers. How many of you come from an engineering/technical background? Okay, wow, that's a majority. I should have asked the opposite. How many of you don't come from a technical background? Okay, 1 person. Cool. Okay, what's your background?
Finance.
Okay, great. Well, let's try to adapt this a little bit more to the engineering folks, although I'll be doing some mentions as well to finance and other non-technical backgrounds. I come from engineering as well. That's my, that's what I studied, computer science. And I soon realized that I wanted to have a bigger decision-making power over what we're making. I felt sometimes like I was receiving orders about things to code without getting much context about why. And I always was curious enough to go outside of the engineering room and see, but how does this work? How do we make money? What do you do? And at that time, I didn't know that this is something called product management. I was just a curious, non-traditional social engineer, probably, right, going out there and trying to understand why I was coding. And as I continued in my career, I started multiple companies, and I learned product management on the go by starting companies. And I think having a technical background will always give you a bonus and a leg up, because you can build something without asking for much help. At some point, you're going to need to ask for help, okay? Because it's not just about coding, but that's kind of how I started my companies. Obviously, the company grew and we needed more help with recruiting, fundraising, ops, sales, marketing, you name it. I had to hire more engineers and then product managers and so on. So being an engineer in Silicon Valley is definitely a bonus point if you're trying to break into product. A lot of the product managers these days come from a technical background, but you also know that being technical is not enough. So something that usually engineers struggle is with the first question. And this is very similar to the first questions you would always get in an interview, right? Like, tell me more about yourself. What's your background? And it sets the tone for the rest of the conversation. So it's very important that you can set yourself up for success and you can explain more about what you're trying to accomplish versus you come across as a very, very technical engineer that is only going to talk about the programming languages that he or she speaks. I'm obviously exaggerating, but my point here is that you can explain what you've done outside of the engineering room, especially if you are applying for a product management job. Example, tell me more about yourself. And if I go and say, hey, I'm a software engineer. I work as a software engineer at company X. And I build mobile applications, and I use this technology. And I'm also using this other stack, and I'm using this and that. And I start giving you a very technical explanation about my product or my job as a recruiter, I'm probably going to disconnect. Because the real question is more about, well, first of all, I know you're an engineer, but I gave you a chance because there is something out there that tells me that you're probably thinking business and design. So tell me more about yourself, but using business terms, right? Like they're expecting you to they know you're an engineer, but they're expecting you to speak as a product manager. So obviously there are multiple frameworks, and this is not right or wrong answer, but I would like to ask the audience if there is someone willing to give me a 30-second speech about your background. If there's no volunteers, there's no workshop. All right, thank you.
I'm from a computer science background. I joined Intel as a software engineer, and then I have been asked to, because it was more customer facing and I really wanted to, I liked working with the customers, and asked by my manager to be more under the like program management kind of role, but I still had to do coding, and then I moved to a different role, which is more product owner or program management, and right now I moved to another role, which is inside Intel, which is more into program management, but for machine learning, computer vision kind of app. However, I want to be more towards the product management side of things, more towards business, more working with the marketing people and stuff, and yeah, I want to move to a B2C kind of company.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, first of all, thank you so much, okay, for breaking the ice. So it'd be very, very nice of you. I like some of the things that you mentioned. And you obviously, you have that natural empathy, like you were smiling and you were communicating clearly about what you know and what you want to do. I like that. In general, I don't know if you've read some of these books about cracking the PM interview or cracking the coding interview, like everybody's smiling, yes. The author of the book is giving a talk here at our campus in Silicon Valley in October. And she was a speaker before, so. If you want, he will also do a specific talk about that. There is something very important about how you start, because this is more about psychology. As a recruiter, and I get a lot of resumes, and my job is to hire someone, but at the same time, especially for a position as like product management, I'm going to get a lot of candidates, so I'm always going to try to find excuse to disqualify you. So it's very important to start strong. And you know what they say, that there is only one chance to create a first impression? And that we all generate our own first impression about someone, and then we try to use the rest of the time to validate that first impression. I'm not saying that you can't change, but if you start strong and you make the person smile and connect, there are chances that the interview will flow. At the same time, if you start very slow and boring, there are chances that the person will want to disconnect and move on. So, in the book about cracking the PM interview, Gail mentions a framework that works for her. Obviously, there are other frameworks, but I really like that one, because she starts with a first phrase kind of defining her career. Not just, you are way more than your current job, right? So, in my case, for example, I can say, hey, my name is Carlos, and I'm a product manager with 8 years of experience. You can supplement that and say, I'm a product manager with 8 years of experience building companies across Europe, North America, and South America. That's a nice way to explain that you have some global experience, but you can also emphasize the part that maybe you've worked on B2B or B2C, or mobile, or marketplaces. Don't mention too many things, because the more you say, the harder to remember. But try to find a fine balance there, where you can say something like, hey, my name is Carlos, and I'm a product engineer with a total of 8 years of experience building products for enterprise software companies. Period. If you can position yourself with a phrase that is powerful, at least you set the context. And I don't want to say things like, I'm a team player, and I'm an innovative thinker, like things like that. Everybody is a team player. Everybody is very nice and innovative. Like, try to remove those buzzwords, but focus more on the amount of years of experience and something that makes you very unique. imagine that you only had the opportunity to say one phrase, and that is what the other person is going to use to react and see if he or she wants to know more. So if you can use something powerful, if I go and tell you that I have 8 years of experience building products across Europe, North America, and South America, that sounds kind of special. If I just say that I have 8 years of experience building products, I mean, it's not bad, but it's not great. Try to find what is that thing that could make you unique, okay? And this is more for you to think. Then let's say that you start that way. In general, especially here, it's good to provide some information about your education, if that's something that you are proud of. So saying things like, and I got a computer science degree, or a master's degree, or an MBA, or you studied in another country or in another continent, it's the moment to do it. So, hey, my name is Carlos. I have 8 years of experience as a product manager across different products in Europe, North America, and South America. My educational background is as a software engineer in Spain with a master's in business in PAS. And I can stop there one more time. But I'm kind of now positioning myself as I'm a product person because I have experience, global experience because I did it across different countries, and then I'm telling you that I'm technical and business. In a very nice way, in just 5 seconds, sometimes that is enough. You don't have to go and tell me the whole spiel about how many courses and certificates and things you do, but you can just go to the point of, hey, I'm technical and business. And it's not about having a computer science degree and an MBA. Think about how you can prove that you are technical and business. This is more for you to think, okay? I'm not giving you the perfect answer, I'm just kind of trying to provide you with a framework to see how you can prepare that 30 to 60 second speech. And then once you've given me that headline and then some overview about your education, by the way, the shorter, the better, then you can go and give me a quick overview about your career. I felt like in this specific answer, we were just talking about one company. And I don't know if it is because you've only worked at one company, is that correct? And you've been promoted within that company. Okay, then that's totally fine. When we do that, we are going to explain that we've been getting promoted. It's important that we explain how important that is and how much you've grown. Because especially if we work in big companies, they're going to give us titles that are not easy to understand for people that are not in that company. I had a student at product school, she was a software engineer level 3 at Intel. And that means senior software engineer for the rest of the world, apparently. But her LinkedIn said engineer 3. I didn't know what engineer 3 was, you know, I'm exaggerating, but keep that in mind, because when we say things like I'm a program manager, or I'm an engineer, or the other person may not know. So I would like to start, maybe I'm just going to kind of make up the answer, but you could start by saying, I started my career as a software engineer building e-commerce applications for B2C. And after 2 years into the job, I realized that I felt very passionate about connecting technology with business. So I was able to get a promotion as a project manager to not just work as a coder, but also interact with other business and design units in the team. I enjoyed that so much that I kept growing and growing until I got the opportunity to become an IT consultant at this other company. And in this company, I got incredible experience interacting with end users, gathering requirements, and transferring them to my engineering and design teams. After all of the experience, now I'm very excited and ready to move on to a product management position at because I want to enjoy owning the product from beginning to end and continue iterating that product instead of just moving from client to client. I'm just making this up on the go. Maybe it doesn't apply to this specific case, maybe it applies for some of you, but instead of criticizing what you didn't like or what you want to do, I think you can always put a positive spin on, hey, I did this, I was so good at this, and I was so excited about this that I got a promotion. And here, I did this. I kept growing, so I moved to this other role. So try to sell me every single step as if it went up and to the right. Even if you didn't love that company, it kind of stops the flow. You know, like nobody wants to be in a place where you are telling me how bad that other company was or how little you enjoy. I'm sure you can always find the positive aspect of what you did and tell me that because you were so excited about the next move, that's why you moved to the next thing. It kind of, I don't know if you felt that in those 10 seconds that I was explaining to you that I went from software engineer, I enjoyed that part. And at the same time, I realized that I wanted to have more access to how my code interacted with business and design. So I was able to get a promotion into project management. As a project management, I enjoyed that and I had access to all of these things. And from there, I was able to get an opportunity at another company as an IT consultant. So this way I was able to interact with end users on a daily basis and leverage my technical background to transfer requirements from my client into my engineering role. I enjoyed that so much that I'm now very excited about the opportunity of becoming a product manager for a company, so blah, blah, blah. But one, two, three, instead of like, and I did this, and then I did that, and I did that, it doesn't flow. You guys need to practice these things, right? It's not like me telling you, you have to do this or that. But that first answer sets the tone for the rest of the conversation. And it doesn't need to be a 5-minute pitch about your life. If the other person wants more, don't worry. This person will ask you about, okay, well, tell me more about your experience at Intel when you were a program manager. What did you do exactly there? Well, that's fine. But in my personal experience, I prefer to let the other person to ask me for more rather than giving too much and make the other person disconnect. Okay? So get the point that, as a rule of thumb, I wouldn't go beyond 2 minutes in this first answer. Cool? Does anyone else want to try? Okay.
Can I have a question?
So
No, so my question is, you know, when they ask you for your background and all that, in, for example, my company, we don't necessarily have product owners or managers, like that specific terminology, right? But at one point, for example, I've owned like over 116 projects, right? And I was in charge of that. So maybe outside of my company, I was a if I should not get into specific projects or specific roles, and if I'm to just give a highlight, but I still want to stress that I've held, you know, roles where I've been in like high pressure situations, cross-functional, and then this, and you know, all these different projects, and been able to juggle them. Mm-hmm. How do I stress to them that I've been in, you know, I've held such important positions that you may not recognize from my resume, but I want you to know that's why I feel like I'm a good fit for this role.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's but like, without getting into too much detail, I just say I have 6+ years of experience.
Yeah. So
you know.
Yes. So good point. So, question is: imagine that I feel like I'm capable of doing the job. I have the experience for the role, but I haven't had the title before. How can I sell that my role is actually more relevant than what my resume is saying? And that's great. You just have to explain that. In general, labels are important because that's kind of a way for the other person to recognize and create a mental model about what you're about to say. So when someone says, I was working this as a software engineer, I'm automatically thinking, okay, technical. You can say, I was working for this company X, and I was in charge of their 150 plus portfolio of products as a manager. That's totally fine. I mean, if you feel like your title is too specific to your company and the other person may not understand that, then don't say that title. Or you can downplay that and say, well, the internal title was X, but in reality, this is what it meant. Great. You know, like, do not get tied into the specifics because sometimes that can make the other person disconnect. Cool. Well, let's go to the next one. This is about what's your technical background? And I'm going to ask the finance guy because I don't know if you've applied to other product management jobs before. Yes or no? Yes? Okay. So this is very, very common, and it'll be more and more common in the future. Being a product manager doesn't mean that you're going to be coding on a daily basis. It means that you're going to be working with your engineers on a daily basis. And having an engineering background is a good way to prove that you understand other engineers, but that's not the only way to prove that. So I know this is a tricky part. Probably this is not the perfect audience because you guys are all technical. But let me just kind of give you a, I don't know, do you have an answer for this? Like, have you ever been in a situation where they ask you about, do you know how to code? Or do you have a technical background?
I am a guy, it's not necessarily my best title. I'm leaving to start, and I started going for 3 years. I've been a product manager.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been working with my engineers for the last
year. So what's your technical background?
To do that, I've learned Rails, I've learned SQL. So I guess it depends on how you talk to me.
Define technical. So what technical stuff have you done, or how do you work with engineers?
I ran a team of 10 engineers.
So how did you earn the respect of your 10 engineers?
I built a product to start.
You built the product?
Yeah, I built the start of the product.
As a founder?
As a founder.
Okay.
And then I didn't have time for that anymore.
And then you started hiring other people. Great.
So when they had questions, technical questions, like,
so that's another good angle to kind of win or earn the respect of a technical team. If you've been a founder, or it doesn't need to be just a founder, or you've been an early employee at a startup, like basically you had to make something happen, even though you didn't know everything. If you've been able to prove that, hey, I made it happen, I was able to recruit a friend of mine or another engineer who was more technical, and together we were able to build the first version, and then we were able to scale the team, and every time I had a technical question I was able to rely on my friend, but at the same time as we grew I was able to learn more about the technical difficulties of a technical project. That helps. That's huge, and a lot of companies will appreciate your entrepreneurial background. But now let's assume that you haven't been an engineer, and you haven't been a founder, but you still feel like, hey, I'm not an engineer, but I have some decent technical background. I've seen some of the wrong answers here, and I'm going to explain you which ones are those and why. When you go out there and say, hey, well, I took a Udemy course on Ruby on Rails, or a code academy, like put the, doesn't matter where the platform is. You just say, I took a class about coding. It is going to be very hard to justify that you know how to code. Because code is so practical, right? I can see it, that if you can show me that you were able to build a very basic website with a domain, and even if the website is not pretty, but it's yours, that is way more powerful than any other video class or in-person class that you took 5 years ago. That part speaks for itself. If you say, hey, what's your technical background? I say, well, I'm not an engineer, but I've been able to find my way to earn the respect of my engineers by building my company, my product. Let me show you my product. And this is what I did. Done. And that is good. If you feel like you don't have that, it's like, oh my God, I'm going to build a product now. So when someone asks me about my technical background, I can show it. But the person knows that you are not an engineer. I mean, if you're an engineer that's asking you this question, it's going to be very easy for you to explain. But this is especially harder for someone that doesn't come from a technical background. They're not expecting you to lie. They obviously know that you are not a 5-year old experienced software engineer. They're expecting you to tell them, even though I am not an expert at this, I'm able to work with the experts, and here's how I can prove it. And these days, there is no excuse not to build something basic. There's so much free content out there that can show you how to build something. If you think that code is too scary, you can even start something without code. There are so many other platforms like content management systems like WordPress, Squarespace, Wix, you name it, that are literally like you select a theme, you pick a domain, and you have something out there. Obviously, that's not as great as building something from scratch, but it's a starting point. What's going to be impossible is that you try to apply for a product management position without a technical background and without any proof whatsoever of your interest in connecting with your engineers. Because especially in Silicon Valley, maybe in other places it is less relevant, especially in Silicon Valley, there are so many engineers and so many people with a technical background that if you want to be a manager in tech, at some point you are going to need to speak tech. So it's something to keep in mind. And we have a class, we have a course called Coding for Managers, which is exactly that. Obviously, it's not for everybody because it's not the cheapest course in the world. But it's like going to the gym with a personal trainer. At the end of the day, you are going to be the one lifting weights. But the personal trainer is going to make sure you do it in the right form and the right time. So you can always go to the gym by yourself, but we all know how hard it is to try to learn how to code by watching videos. So I leave it up there to you to decide how you want to learn it. What's not optional is that if you want to be a manager in tech, at some point you're going to need to speak tech and earn the respect of the engineers and the designers. Yes?
What if you come from a background, how does that come from a business analyst background? Pretty functional. What if you come from a organization that purposely separates, it's an agile workshop that separates the technical from the product manager. The product manager is purely functional and the technical handles the back end.
Yes.
How would you know?
So the question is, let's say you work as a business analyst or as a project manager, and you are separated from the technical project managers or the engineers. Well, that's fine. You will have to explain that. But honestly, as you spend time with an engineering team, doesn't need to be as an engineer, but as you spend time with an engineering team, but just by gathering requirements, putting them on a project management tool such as Jira, and you participate in an agile development of your team, you are going to learn a lot. Like, it's not expected that you learn how to code like an engineer, but it is expected that you understand their motivations and you understand what's their lingo and how you can break down a complex task and think about the different use cases that you can't see just by looking at a wireframe, because that will make a huge difference. And the rest can be learned on the go. But I'm looking for signs to know that, A, you either know this stuff or you can be ready to learn it the right way, not just by winging it, you know? There's so much competition that a lot of companies can afford to ask for so many things. That's the supply and demand right there. Yes?
So I'm answering my first question. So can we use the given cases in one interview in our portfolio to showcase for the next interviews?
Yes, absolutely. Because that's the work that you are doing. And you are the owner of your own work. And here's another trick. Like, the question was about, hey, if I do some work for a company during my interview process and I not get hired, can I reuse or use some of that as part of my portfolio for another interview? And my answer is yes. Because that's, first of all, is your work. But also, you soon realize that as a product manager, you're going to be using a framework or a template that obviously you're going to customize depending on the product, the industry, the company size. What we teach in the product management course is the product life cycle. And we've tried to follow best practices and show you kind of the main milestones that you have to hit and what are the most common tools and processes. But know that each company will adapt that their own way. So if you take a class and you understand this and you build something as part of the class, you can definitely reuse that for another company. And the more you have, the better, because the best way you can answer a question is if you did it before. And if you did it for real, for a company, that's the best way you can prove it. But let's say you haven't done that specific thing for a company. Well, if you've done it for yourself as part of our side project, that's way better than not doing it. And that's what the gap that I'm trying to fill here. You know, like, there's no excuse these days not to try to build something. You can build it by yourself, you can get the help from a mentor or from an institution to do it, but do it. The next question is about, no more background, now let's try to get more deep into product. Very common question is to answer, what's your favorite product and why? So I'm going to let anyone who wants to participate in this one. Yeah, you want to? Great.
Yeah. Okay. I didn't raise my hand, but my favorite product is voice assistants, like Amazon Alexa, Google Home. I really like those products. Yeah, so my favorite product is like Google Home, like a Google Home voice assistant. Why I like it? Because, you know, the convenience of my voice command, basically, I can search. I can, ask the system to play videos on my TV. I think it's a really convenient product. I don't have to open like a ton of different applications on my cell phone. It's easy, it's convenient. I think it's a really innovative product.
Mm-hmm. Yes, okay. Does anyone else want to try? Okay, yes, you can pass the microphone. To you, like you.
My favorite product is Amazon.com website. Why I like it? It's because of the several reasons. Number one, it provides great search capabilities that I can find the product that I want. It does have many different categories across multiple different industries, very broad, that I can actually find there. So it can be a one-stop shop where I can find whatever I want without doing anything or going anywhere else. That's retention. Number three is I can easily track my orders. I can view different categories, my subscriptions, my orders. There's different flexibility in how I can get the product and also discounts associated with that. Price is very hard to beat. Usually I don't need to comparison shop. I can just go to Amazon and know that I'm getting the best price. Fulfillment, delivery, and support is also amazing. I know that I can, as a premium subscriber, I can get shipping free in 2 days, or sometimes the same day. The same day, my order size is large. So fulfillment, support, and delivery is also amazing. So I think it's a very well integrated system website where I can just go there, live there, and get almost everything that I want.
Perfect. Good to try.
No.
You want to know? It's an answer. No.
Maybe you should be used to this by now.
Every time someone has a question, you have to do the answer first, and then I let you do the question. Okay. Yes.
My favorite product is the Facebook Oculus Rift. The Rift, the VR glasses, have created a market opportunity for $20 billion. Right now the developers is 49% of the developers are developing apps or VR programs based on Oculus Rift. So that is after the other one, HTC Vive. So HTC Vive is above and Oculus is second right now. So I think that's the favorite product because it has created that market opportunity, so many jobs, so many startups working on it, and from a product manager point of view, that has increased the business opportunities and the new products. It has created a platform for new products to come up. So Facebook, and right now it is a high priced one. I believe if it goes at a price point where it is a mass adoption takes place, it will be the best product.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I give you the chance in the next question. Good, thank you for participating, all of you. There's no right or wrong answer, and I just want to at least try to show you some of the things that I like and some of the things that I would have changed. I really like your answer. What was your name?
Arsene.
Arsene, really good answer. You use a framework or a process, your own framework or process, that's fine. You don't need to use mine or the recruiter's one, but you structured your answer. You didn't just tell me, oh, I like this website or hardware because it's very cool and I use it every day. Like, that is a user type of answer. And we all have user type of answers because we're also users of a lot of our products.
So
but if you're in a
good to add the performance metrics along with that.
Well, it's good to add some additional information, probably not too much, to not look like an infomercial, but it's true that you need to back up your initial answer. First of all, I like that the three of you gave an answer. Because sometimes you can be in an interview where you ask a question and then you get a completely different answer. Well, I like products in this industry because I think, no. I asked you what's your favorite product and why. So you, three of you said, my favorite product is X and here is Y. I'm expecting, this is an interview setting, so obviously it's not like the same way you are speaking with a friend. I'm trying to see how you think about a product and how you look at it behind the scenes. And you said, well, I like this website. And here's why I like this website. I like that there is a very easy to use interface where I can quickly find products that I want across thousands of categories. So it's convenience for me. Once I make a search, I can find those items, and then it's also easy for me to see what the community thinks about it. And if I decide to pull the trigger, there's a very easy way for me to make the purchase. And because I'm also an Amazon Prime member, or there's an option for membership, the supply system is so well done that I can get my products within 48 hours. So it's a combination of what you said and what I said, but I like that you kind of said, well, these are the three things that I like, A, B, C, and this is my reason. You may agree or disagree, but at least I'm kind of structuring this, because if one day you are trying to discuss features with your engineers, you try to eliminate the opinion part, right? That you don't want to say, I want to be this feature versus this other one because I like it more. You want to kind of justify, hopefully with data, but if not, with some additional information about user